Views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. Broadcasting from the KCNR studio, sponsored by Wind River Resort and Casino. Now, here is Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning, KCNR listeners. You're listening to Carl and Linda Bott Show on 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, your talk radio. As you can tell, this is not Carl and Linda's voice. This is Blake Fisher from Viva Downtown Reading filling in today on this foggy, foggy Monday morning here in Shasta County. Carl and Linda had a exciting Wild West last 2 weeks, but I believe they are moseying down the trail to get back home to beautiful Redding, California, to which they will be back on the show starting again tomorrow. So to the listeners that are listening in this morning, it's good to be back. I hope we had a fantastic last week. Last week was our holiday festivities in downtown Redding, and it was quite the turnout that I think give Rockefeller Center in New York City a run for its money. Right? I don't know. What do you think, Alex?
Well, for Redding, California, sure.
Definitely. Well, you saw the videos, right?
I did see some of them, yeah.
A lot of people.
Yeah, downtown Saturday was packed.
Mm-hmm.
The parade was packed.
Mm-hmm.
David Wiley and I did the announcements for Active 2030 Club at the parade. So
that's
that
cool.
Was kind of cool. Yep.
I love that. I did the, and that's Alex, our sound engineer here at the studio. Do you like sound engineer or producer?
Either one. Producer sounds more official and important, but either way.
He's our producer.
I still get paid the same.
Either way. So last Friday was the Christmas tree lighting, the City of Reading 106th Christmas tree lighting. Did you go to that, Alex?
I wasn't at that, no.
Well, there you are. That's how you couldn't see that it was rivaling Rockefeller Center. I mean, this video, if you guys go to Viva Downtown Reading Instagram or Facebook and pull up, you can see just the amount of people that showed up to downtown Reading that Friday night to kick off the entertainment zone, the public market official grand opening, and see the tree lighting that happened at 7 p.m. And I think there's a lot to be proud of. I hope you made it. If not, look up the videos online on our Facebook page so you can see the turnout. And Saturday was the parade, to which, to my listeners this morning, there are so many things that have been happening in downtown Reading these last 5 years. If you've been listening to the show that I've been, that I get to host when Carl and Linda are gone, I usually have it to be very downtown focused since I work for Viva Downtown Reading, a Main Street organization focused on social, cultural, and economic development. And so I'm very excited to have, our executive director, John Truitt, join us today from 7:30 a.m. to 8 a.m. to talk about, what's next for downtown. And, I think that'll be a really good show. Alex, so you did the Christmas parade. You were one of the announcers.
Yeah.
Was that your first time ever doing that?
Announcing a parade, yes. Announcing events, no. But
for a parade.
For a parade, yes.
This one was, I would say, the strongest, as an audience member, one of the strongest years for the Act of 2030 Lighted Christmas Parade. I don't know how many years that they've been hosting it.
I was told 40. Well, I was told the parade's been around for 44 years. Mm-hmm. They probably haven't done it that long.
Mm-hmm. I don't think they have because it's transferred over to Chamber. It's been to the Rotary. It's been to... So I think this year... Have you seen the parade before? Just to lead in.
No, this is the first time I've ever seen this parade.
Okay. So this parade takes place on California Street, Sacramento Street, and Pine Street. It had over 106 entries of varying sizes, floats, and individuals that rode the parade route. And it was amazing. And here's what the Act of 2030 Club did especially well this year. There wasn't a lot of lag or dead time between floats. The theme this year, Into the Wild, was really well received.
Yeah, I think everyone stayed on theme for the most part.
Everybody stayed on theme. And some of the coolest things I saw on this with a bunch of BMX bike riders doing wheelies. There was probably 20 people doing wheelies in unison.
We had some stilt walkers with fire.
Stilt walkers. blowing fire. That was much needed, how cold it was that
evening.
Yeah,
the first time I've seen that in a Christmas parade.
In a Christmas parade.
Yeah.
There was a lot of fire. There was a baton twirler twirling fire. There was a lot of stilt walkers blowing fire. And then there's these one-wheel riders.
Yep.
I don't know if you saw the one-wheel rider do the handstand.
I didn't see him do the handstand, no.
I just blinked, and there I see this guy handstanding on a moving vehicle, one wheel, and everybody's just cheering and hooting and hollering. What was your favorite moment?
Highlight for me, believe it or not, because I didn't even know this existed, was the Simpson bass fishing cheerleaders.
Yes.
They have a bass fishing team. I didn't know that was a thing, but that they have cheerleaders. That's even funnier.
I thought it was original, not funny. Here's what I think. I think it's really cool, but when you're fishing, aren't people usually like, shh?
Yeah, exactly. Be quiet.
Scare the fish.
Be quiet. Don't yell and scream.
maybe the fish like the cheers. These are good cheers. F-I-S. Shh. Fishing.
Yep. I will tell you something funny that happened. As always, with a parade like this, you'll have a float that doesn't show up, or somebody has an accident on the way, so they can't be there. But they don't give us, the announcers, those notes, mm-hmm. because, obviously, it's up in the air. You never know what's going to happen. So we're going through the list. They give you the name of the float, and then they give you, like, a little, anywhere from a two-sentence to two-paragraph read that you have to do before they pass by. So sometimes you're reading it really fast. And we did one or two by accident in the wrong place. And so David thanks the water treatment plant and sewage for their float. And I had to go, well, that's actually the Reading Police Department. Thank you very much.
There.
So it was fun.
You had your – I was reading my script and getting too locked into just reading and not looking that I think at one point the Central Valley Youth High School Falcons were riding by in front of us. And I said, and here's our local Girl Scout troop. And I was like, oh, nobody's. And then I looked and I went, oh, no. whoops. These are the Central Valley Falcons. Not the Girl Scouts. The Girl Scouts were right behind. And we're just giving everybody a play by play since you missed it.
Why not?
So, my other favorite moment is when there's a bunch of, cause everybody has these inflatable costumes, and holiday or animal. Well, there were two gingerbreads that were walking in front of us. One gingerbread man is, you know, looking good. The other gingerbread man is,
he's kind of deflating off.
Looked like an undercooked cookie.
Yeah.
It was a good parade. I think everybody should be proud of that. And, Alex, I'm glad that you got to announce.
Yeah, it was fun.
It's a good time. And that was our entertainment zone. Entertainment Zone was Friday and Saturday. That was the first 2 days. And I think that played out really nicely with these events. And that's what this legislation was designed to do, was to lift up restrictions on bars and restaurants to be able to grab a to-go beverage and go see and walk your city. And it did just that. And there aren't a bunch of crazies walking around. It's usually the drinks that people are grabbing are a beer, a local beer like Fall River.
Yep.
And they're walking. And when the tree lighting was happening and the parade, here's what I saw. I saw people leaving the food truck park with their beverages. So they supported the food truck park, then went to the event. The Taroko over here on Pine Street, they were serving some most beautiful cocktails and to-go beverages for people watching the parade. And the city of Reading allowed hot spiked beverages to be served. So I know that FOMO and Vintage and Market Street.
Even Fratelli's had some stuff going on.
And Fratelli's were able to serve some to-go beverages. And I said, well, what do we think? What do we think? A lot of people still don't understand the concept. They're thinking it's going to become a vice and sin. It's not. I'm just telling everybody right now.
I was amazed that there was not a lot of littering. You didn't see it everywhere. People threw them away.
People threw their cups away.
Yeah.
People aren't overindulging.
Yep, exactly.
ABC rules still apply. And it's cool. It's a good way to support a business and walk around downtown. It's a novelty. I don't think it's going to get abused. And also, I say this to everybody, do you really think at the Reading Rodeo Parade or the Christmas Parade, no one was showing up with flasks or spiked Stanley cups?
Of course.
Like people have been doing this way before.
A couple of soccer moms with those big thermoses.
Yeah. What do you think of putting in there? Well, we're going to take our first break of the hour. We don't have an event lineup of the week, so when we come back from the break, Alex and I will talk about whatever.
Stuff.
Okay, we'll be back.
KCNR Shasta is also broadcasting at K243CT Reading.
This is Carrie Growl, owner of Organic Pilates. We believe movement is more than exercise. It's a way to connect with yourself. Our new student intro includes a semi-private reformer session, two group classes, and an infrared sauna experience. And soon, you'll find us in our expanded studio in the heart of downtown Reading. Discover how movement with intention can change the way you feel at Organic Pilates.
Ready to turn your dreams into reality? At Simpson University, we offer a private Christian education that enriches your academic journey with faith and purpose. Whether you're pursuing your undergraduate degree, completing your degree, or advancing through graduate studies, our dynamic programs, personalized mentorship, and vibrant community are here to support you. Discover how Simpson University can help you achieve your goals and grow spiritually. Visit SimpsonU.edu today to learn more. Simpson University, where your potential is limitless.
What does comfort mean to you? At Alliance Heating and Air, we understand your HVAC system is the most important system in your home, affecting everything from air quality to temperature control. That's why everybody calls us, delivering perfect comfort. Invest in year-round comfort with an Alliance tune-up for just $99. Plus, we offer comprehensive maintenance plans starting at $15.95 per month. Remember, everybody calls us at 22 12 6 42.
Everybody calls us.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
Out here, Christmas isn't found in bright lights or fancy gifts. It's in the hands that help, the hearts that give, and the neighbors who always show up when it matters most. At Grange Co-op, we're more than a store. We're a family of farmers, friends, and believers who never stop hoping for a better tomorrow. This season, let's gather close and celebrate what truly matters. Love, community, and the magic of being together. Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays from Grange Co-op.
Attention veterans, did you know that Shasta College and Simpson University have veterans resource centers to assist you in your educational pursuits? These centers offer a wide range of support services, including financial aid, tutoring, IT support, and more. We understand the unique challenges that veterans face and are committed to helping you succeed. Our experienced staff is here to help you navigate the college experience and achieve your academic and career goals. Don't let anything stand in your way. This message is brought to you by Senator Maurice Johannesson, former Secretary of California Veterans Affairs.
Well, good morning, KCNR listeners. You're listening to 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, your talk radio. I'm Blake Fisher, filling in for Carla and Linda Bott on this foggy, foggy morning. Today is Monday, December 8th, 2025, and it is a beautiful morning, especially with the Christmas tree lit up on my walk over from Market Street down to Market Street.
How does the tree look in the fog?
Really cool.
I bet so.
Really cool. Pictures, try and take pictures on your phone. Doesn't come out.
Okay.
But it's exciting to see the tree lit up with this foggy weather. And yes, especially on like rainy days, I think the tree stays lit up all day.
Well.
And the new Reading Public neon sign that's out in front really shines up the street.
Yep.
So. Oh, and also the reason why that Christmas, Alex, so the reason why that tree was located over on Market and Yuba Street was because of that tree being located in the parking structure before it was removed.
Oh, gotcha.
And we're really excited because now it's in its location on Market and Yuba Street, where when you look down at the Christmas tree, the Cascade Theater neon sign lights are on. So you have the neon sign lit up. You have the Christmas tree lit up. And it's really pretty. It really ties everything together.
Nice.
And we specifically chose that location because it's the original location of the Christmas tree back in the day.
Ah.
Back when Historic Highway 99 was open, people could drive right next to the tree.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Mangus always talks about there's always one person each year that would run their car into the tree. It was like tradition, I guess.
Oh man, tradition. let's not bring that tradition back.
Yeah, no. it's great. We will really want that there too. So when Cascade Christmas completes for the night, or all of their Celtic Christmas or Christmas festivities, you walk out of the Cascade Theater and look, and there's the tree.
That's nice.
So that was a really big
good job, guys.
Thanks. It's its fifth year at its original location.
Nice.
Hey, so for here's some news that Sue McLean gave me. Kurt Swanson, local resident, was running for Shasta County Supervisor District 1 seat. His campaign was going to launch for the 2026 election. Swanson announced his campaign on September 26th. And he said he's going to step away from the race after a great deal of reflection. Wow, I can't speak.
It's okay, man.
Entertainment zone, huh?
The fog messes with the...
Wow, good news story. This is why I don't read from teleprompters. he said he decided to step away from the race after a great deal of reflection, prayer, and long conversations with family and close friends, transitioning now tomorrow... with that news, still dealing with Shasta County Board of Supervisors. Tomorrow's Shasta County Board of Supervisors meeting, the board is scheduled to choose its new chair and vice chair for the upcoming year. Normally, this is a routine item on the board's organizational agenda. Traditionally, the vice chair would step into the chair role at the start of the new term. However, that pattern has not held in recent years, leading to more uncertainty about how the leadership vote will unfold. For the past 2 years, Supervisor Cry has served as chair, an unusually long stretch for a position that often rotates annually among board members. His extended tenure reflects the board's shifting dynamics and the evolving alliances that have characterized recent meetings and policy debates. The selection of the chair and vice chair may influence how smoothly the board navigates agenda setting, meeting procedures, and intergovernmental coordination in the year ahead. So, I'm not going to take any phone calls, but I am curious about what your guys' thought of that is. And if you guys want a new chair.
I have no comment. I've only been here for a year since I moved away in 2017. So I'm still learning the lay of the land.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, this and the article said it. It's strange to have a chair sit for that long. But that's the lay of the land. Haven Humane Society is offering free adoptions at two locations in December thanks to Bissell Pet Foundation's Empty the Shelters Holiday Hope event. Haven Humane was also in the Christmas parade.
They were.
Through December 15th, this holiday event is happening at the Morgan Adoption Center in Anderson and the PetSmart Adoption Kiosk in Reading. Operating hours are Monday through Saturday from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. at the Morgan Adoption Center, and Wednesday through Sunday from 11 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. at the PetSmart location. If you've been thinking about adopting a pet this Christmas season, now is the time for you to adopt a pet today.
Nice.
Do you have any pets, Alex?
I don't. currently my living situation doesn't, it's not a good idea, put it that way.
I get you.
Yeah.
I get you. I loved seeing during the Christmas parade all of the animals that were out. Haven Humane always brings such a nice little...
Did you see the dogs dressed as lions?
Yes. Yes. Why can't I adopt a lion, though?
Yeah, there we go.
That's what I want.
Exactly.
In the cat section. And then the Golden Palooza, all of the Golden Retrievers always show up in a big way. I always like that. When are the cats? When are we going to see cats?
We need cats in the parade.
Marching in the parade.
I'm sure that'll work well.
A meowy Christmas.
I made the comment, I'm sure the marching band was glad they were ahead of the dogs, just in case, you know.
I think so. Hey, Alex, I'm thinking, why don't we take a break, and we'll get ready for our next guest, who's going to be John Truitt, Executive Director of Viva Downtown.
Celebrate the holiday season at Redding Garden of Lights, open November 21st through January 4th at the Sundial Bridge and Turtle Bay in Redding, California. Featuring 10 acres of illuminated gardens filled with over 2 million lights, plus holiday-themed music, food and drinks, glowing swings, and more. New for 2025, upgrade your experience with a train ride on the new Turtle Express, adorned with festive lights and wintry displays. Redding Garden of Lights is presented by Dignity Health Mercy Medical Center Redding. Buy tickets online at turtlebay.org.
The property insurance crisis in California is starting to affect the business insurance property also. 200 to 300% rate increases in business property rates or not writing business insurance at all are becoming the norm. At Siskiyou Insurance, we have over 100 years experience in writing business insurance in the North State. We can help. We live here and care about our community and want to make sure that you keep your business with a local agent that knows our town and supports it every day. And we'll get you the best deal we can. Call Curtis Byron at Siskiyou Insurance Services, 530-224-2345 or 1-800-773-2345. Siskiyou Insurance, 530-224-2345 or 1-800-773-2345.
Now is a great time to prepare for the upcoming wildfire season. REU and city staff are busy clearing vegetation to mitigate wildfire risk to our power lines, facilities, and the community. You can also prepare by trimming back shrubs and tree branches that are closer than 5 feet from your home. Clear debris from your roof and gutter and clear dead vegetation on your property. For information about tree trimming and proximity to power lines, call 530-224-4356. Please remember, we all need to work together to prevent wildfires in our community.
Do you have something you'd like to get painted? Then bring it to Victory Powder Coating. Powder coating is a durable, colorful, environmentally friendly alternative to paint. It's useful in automotive, agricultural, decorative, and high-temperature applications. Victory Powder Coating has become the North State leader in powder coating applications and metal finishing. They specialize in large industrial items like truck beds, agricultural equipment, and trailers. They're dedicated to providing your work and outstanding customer care. Consider Victory Powder Coating for your next project. Victory Powder Coating.
Hi, I'm Steve Coburn, proud owner of Country Air Pet Resort here in Redding. I invite you to come and take a tour of my revitalized pet resort. Our goal here at Country Air is to make sure your pet can relax and have a healthy, happy time away from home. With friendly, caring people, lots of fresh air and exercise, good healthy food, and plenty of pampering. There are no small cages here. What we offer are large temperature-controlled runs and spacious exercise yards that are great for fun and socialization. We even offer daycare. Cats are treated to a two-room apartment plus playtime in our playroom. So stop by and take a tour of the best. You and your pet will want to come back to Country Air Pet Resort, where our motto is, we treat your pets as if they were our own. Country Air Pet Resort, 549-3335.
Good morning, KCNR radio listeners. Welcome back to 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, Your Talk Radio. The Carl and Linda Bott Show. I'm Blake Fisher from Viva Downtown Reading, filling in for Carl and Linda Bott, who will be back on the show tomorrow. I'm excited to introduce our first guest of the hour, the Executive Director of Viva Downtown Reading, John Truitt. John, good morning.
Good morning, Blake. Thanks for having me.
We've had quite a busy few weeks here in downtown Reading, haven't we?
Yeah, greeted with a very foggy morning coming into downtown. I was like, whoo, all misty and foggy, and it's very beautiful outside, but I want to urge everybody to kind of be careful out there, slow down, and be sure to mind everything that's going on.
And drive safe. Did you see how beautiful the Christmas tree was through the fog?
You know, it is. There's something about fog that always makes lights, you know, sort of shimmer and glow, and yeah, and it just looks really pretty.
John, I'm really glad that you joined me this morning. Thank you so much for being here.
Sure.
And I'll see you at work after this, too.
Absolutely.
So, John, I wanted to bring you on because our downtown in the last 5 years has gone through dramatic transformation. You, as the executive director of Viva Downtown, has been a part of Viva Downtown as an organization since being created in 1996. So I'd love to talk to you about, you know, what we see in downtown today. What did you see all this happening, and where was the direction of downtown, and where do we go next?
Well, you know, about 30 years ago when Viva Downtown got started, the whole reason for an organization to start hosting parties, for lack of a better word, in downtown is that there just wasn't a lot of activity going in downtown. The Cascade Theater was shuttered, and there was a downtown mall, and it had gone through some tough times, and a lot of the businesses moved out of the downtown mall and either moved across the river to the Mount Shasta Mall or closed their business entirely. And so there just wasn't an awful lot of activity. So a group of people got together to host a downtown concert series called Market Fest, which was essentially music groups coming in on Thursday evenings to perform, sell some drinks, sell some food, just basically have a good time. What's interesting about it is that it was the original Market Fest was held in a parking lot right next to the Lorenz Hotel, where the park, food truck park, is now. And we also closed down some streets, Placer Street, in order to host a farmer's market. And those first few years were sort of interesting with Market Fest and the events that were being held downtown, in that sometimes we would close off whole parking lots in order to host events. And it wasn't tough to close the parking lots because there weren't any cars in the parking lots. Mm-hmm. So it's always interesting when I hear people talk about parking in downtown, because I remember a time when there were plenty of parking lots, but there was nobody in them. And so one of the things that I've learned over the years is that having an awful lot of empty parking spaces did not necessarily generate interest or business in your downtown. And then over the past few years, several things have happened. The city invested big in downtown, and the state of California invested big in downtown as well, with streets and transportation and housing money, in order to put the streets back through, which had been covered by the downtown mall. And now I think that we're really seeing the fruits of a lot of labor, and about $350 million the past 5 years of investments from the public and private sector. And I think our downtown is looking better than ever, and it really is becoming a regional draw for people. So we're really excited about seeing what happens next.
On Friday, we held the Christmas tree lighting in that public market, officially held its grand opening, and that's in a mixed-use project called Market Center Apartments, where there's residents living in downtown. And that was the last location of probably the most significant building, the Dickers Building, being torn down. And Market Fest was also in that Market Street Promenade when the roof came off, too. So what the biggest goal for Viva was to always reconnect the streets. The streets are reconnected, and there's activity. What's next? What do you see?
Well, one of the things that definitely I think everybody wants to see for downtown is for the new retail and commercial spaces to be filled. And, you know, things take time. People have to become interested in something. They have to become used to what's going on. And then you start seeing a kind of what I refer to as, you know, the bandwagon effect. I guess I'm not the only person that refers to it. A lot of people do. But, you know, it's hard to be an early adopter. It's hard to be you know, the first person that wants to take a risk, because often the first person that moves into a place, you know, has to be, you know, pretty well capitalized and have a pretty good plan and good marketing and bring people down. But now we've passed that point where there's more than enough businesses, both retail and commercial businesses, in order for people to know that downtown's a pretty good investment. So we want to see those spaces filled.
Since 96 to now, you've worked on many projects that have changed downtown. Mm-hmm. What's been one of your most favorites that you've worked on?
Well, I mean, certainly, you know, I like the projects that are catalytic. You know, there are some projects that are standalone, that are a lot of fun, and people, you know, remember events, you know, like Market Fest or like the Beer and Wine Festival, which are, you know, absolutely fantastic and bring a lot of people into downtown. And then there are those, you know, projects that sort of, you know, don't have the same sort of publicity or marketing to them and take a long time, but they're actually catalytic. Being part of the Cascade Restoration Project has been a great pleasure, you know, because we had this this Art Deco movie palace, you know, built in the 1930s, you know, seats over 900 people, fantastic, beautiful theater that had been shuttered, mm-hmm, for an awful long time. And so when Lou Gerard, Reading visionary, you know, got people together in order to restore that theater, I was really happy, you know, to be a part of that project. And the Cascade Theater really served to be a draw for business, to make that street much more attractive, and to also, you know, bring in talent and entertainment from around the world. I mean, literally from around the world. And then also some of the shows that happen at the Cascade Theater are presented by local people. So it affords an opportunity for local talent to show off, essentially. And so I think that catalytic projects like that, simply taking a space, making it available, and seeing all the great things that can happen as a result of that, those are really great projects to work in. And I think that you're going to have the same experience, Blake. I know that you're a member of the Shasta Historic Society, and I don't know if your listeners know this, but the Historic Society had a water problem in its building, and essentially you had to move a lot of stuff out of the building and repurpose it and repair it. And last week I had the pleasure of going over there and seeing the new space. And I know that that new space is going to serve the community in all kinds of different ways, in ways that I can't even imagine, because things are changing so fast in the 21st century. We really don't know, you know, what that space is going to be used for next, but I know that it's a beautiful space that's going to be made available to the community. And I think that in the next 20 or 30 years, you're going to be really proud that you were a part of that project, because you're going to see a lot of fantastic things happen there, and a lot of fantastic things that not only happen there, but then act as a catalyst and a means for people to expand that energy and that talent out into downtown and out into the greater community.
Well, that's I'm glad that you brought that up, because that's sort of where Viva Downtown's had our focus on these last 5 years, sort of doing placemaking project in the IOOF Hall, which is the oldest brick structure in Reading, built in 1888, and central to all of the development that we've seen in these last 5 years, with the streets going through, two residential mixed-use buildings being put up. Mm-hmm. It's a very interesting historic space with so many projects. So You've always had your sights on the IOF Hall as being one of the most important buildings to transforming a downtown. So where did that story become where Viva Downtown moves into the IOF Hall?
Well, you know, the thanks for, you know, reminding me that the IOF Hall is 140 years old. I believe it's the oldest brick structure in downtown Reading. And also I think that it's as a result of the IOF Hall, which just shows that, that catalytic things have happened since well into the 19th century. If I recall correctly, when the IOF Hall was built, that was one of the reasons why the city of Reading installed electric lights on Market Street. So it just goes to show that, you know, what we refer to as placemaking, has been going on for an awfully long time. But, you know, the IOF Hall, was another, you know, gem of a building that had, you know, kind of fallen into disrepair and, wasn't used, very often. But, the great people, the Order of Odd Fellows, they maintained it as best they could, and congratulations to them, for doing that, because they maintain, you know, a beautiful piece of history, at great expense, to them. It's not an easy thing to, you know, maintain, 100-year-plus building, for as long as they did, kind of wait out, you know, kind of what was going on in downtown with things being a little more abundant and a little slow. So my hat is definitely off, to those people who maintained, that building so that we could have a beautiful, historic, structure, here in downtown. But a few years back, you know, the McConnell Foundation, opted to, purchase that building, from the Odd Fellows, and they, generously, asked Viva Downtown if we would be interested in occupying that building, at the same time as the Market Street and some of the side streets were being dug up and, paved over. Viva kind of has a tradition of, kind of moving into places that are under construction because we like, you know, being kind of a part of the change, that's going on, the change that, you know, we've recommended. So we, you know, want to put our money where our mouth is and be in there and deal with, the excitement and the hardship, that comes, from that. So, I have seen, over the past couple of years in the, IOF Hall, that if you clean up a space and you make it available, to people, that the community really will come up with, great and imaginative ideas. Once again, we're talking about that, that catalytic, idea. And that's part of the beauty of placemaking. You know, placemaking is this idea that, you know, you find a space and you make it amenable. You, you know, you make sure that it has electricity and running water, you know, that it's well lit, that it's in a safe, district, and just make it available and see what happens. See what the best in your community, wants to do with it. So rather than impose ideas of, what needed to happen, in downtown or in the greater community, we invited people to come in and share. And it turns out that there are a lot of talented people in Reading. We have had well over 250 artists show their stuff in the Art Hunger Gallery that's downstairs. I think over 50 different organizations have presented and done, you know, their own programs in the hall. And it, I know that a lot of city groups, civic groups have met there in order to come up with plans for downtown and for the greater area. And so I'm just really proud to see, you know, all the great things that can happen when you make a central space nice, amenable, and safe for people to use.
We're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to come back, and then I'd love to hear John's thoughts on what's next for downtown, because it seems we've come so far. Okay, we're going to take our break. You're listening to Carl and Linda Bott Show, 96.5 FM, 1460 AM.
Edward. Clark, CEO of the Redding Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
Hi, I'm Ted Bambino, president of the Redding Rodeo. We are thrilled to be partners with the Redding Rancheria. They are an integral part of the success of the Redding Rodeo.
Hi, I'm Julie. This is Debbie. We're here at the Shasta Family YMCA.
Hi, and I'm Kristen, the CEO. And on behalf of our team, I'd like to thank the Redding Rancheria for the many years of support for our programs and our projects like the playground.
Redding Rancheria, proud to play our part.
Out here, Christmas isn't found in bright lights or fancy gifts. It's in the hands that help, the hearts that give, and the neighbors who always show up when it matters most. At Grange Co-op, we're more than a store. We're a family of farmers, friends, and believers who never stop hoping for a better tomorrow. This season, let's gather close and celebrate what truly matters. Love, community, and the magic of being together. Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays from Grange Co-op.
Celebrate Christmas Eve and Day at Black Bear Diner. Skip the hassle and let us cook for you. Enjoy home-style turkey, slow-roasted prime rib, and smoked ham with all the trimmings. Join us for Christmas Eve or Day for dine-in, carry-out, or delivery. Make your holidays special at Black Bear Diner, 2605 Hilltop Drive, Reading.
Black Bear Diner.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Auto Body. You've been in an accident with your vehicle. You call your insurance. The first thing they do is tell you where to go to get an estimate and repairs. Well, tell them where to go and come see us at Coachmaster. They're sending you to their discount repair shop to get the cheapest repair possible. This is not in your best interest. You have the right to choose Coachmaster to do your repairs. All we need is your claim number and we can handle the entire process. At Coachmaster, we don't repair your vehicle for the insurance company. We repair it for you. We use quality parts and products to ensure the highest quality repairs. Your vehicle will be returned to a pre-loss condition. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Coachmaster Collision Repair continues to be the leader in the North State for advanced technology in the collision repair industry. Remember Coachmaster on East Side Road. Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Every day, your life is filled with choices. And when a health crisis happens, you need to be prepared to choose the best healthcare partner. That's when Shasta Regional Medical Center is there to answer the call above the rest. Ranked best in Reading and in the nation for patient safety and clinical excellence, you can be confident that when you choose Shasta, you are choosing superior care, safety, and excellence for you and your family. Choose Shasta at ShastaRegional.com.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Redding Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
I'm Nathan with the Redding Trail Alliance, and we're here at the Redding Bike Park. We just want to thank the Redding Rancheria for all the help they've given us over the years supporting the many projects we're doing for our community.
Hi, I'm Dan, and this is Donna, and we're with Wings of Angels.
And we'd like to thank the Redding Rancheria for their continued support over the years to our foundation.
Redding Rancheria, proud to play our part.
Well, sometimes I feel I've got to run away, I've got to.
Hey, CNR listeners, welcome back. 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, Your Talk Radio. Carl Linda Bott Show at 8.05. We're going to be back with the Shasta College crew. Can't wait to interview all of them. But, John, thanks so much for being on the show.
Once again, thank you for having me.
So, Main Street to Mall to Main Street. That's what our downtown did. Meaning we had Historic Highway 99. We closed it off, became a giant mall, and then just in the last 10 years did we see what a main street really looks like again. Is that common for downtowns? Are we an anomaly? What have you seen our downtown Reading do, and how did we get to this point?
Well, it's common for downtowns that selected to close off their downtowns and become a mall. It was sort of a failed idea in the 1960s and the 1970s in response to, you know, big shopping centers opening up outside of downtown cores, you know, big, huge retail space with large retail anchors and several stores and huge parking lots. Mm-hmm. You know, that was popular in the 1950s and the 1960s. So downtowns, you know, started emptying out. And so there was an idea that the best thing to do was to imitate the mall. Unfortunately, these downtowns weren't designed that way. The way they were designed was, you know, kind of the old-fashioned street grid. And also downtowns had served other purposes other than just retail. With a lot of downtowns, there were, downtowns for cities that were the size of Reading. There were, retail stores, but there were also, commercial offices and different sorts of businesses and, post offices and these things that were kind of designed for walkable, communities and also, residents. So then when the idea came that, well, let's knock down some of our downtown to create, parking spaces, and let's cover over, our downtown and make retail spaces. What it did is that it hemmed in, these downtowns and said, okay, these downtowns can only be used now, for this purpose. Well, the problem is that everybody had already created shopping habits around going to a big mall on the outskirts of the city. Mm-hmm. And so what happened is that they tried to pound a square peg into a round hole, turn a grid style, downtown into something that it was not. Okay. And these malls, they just didn't catch on. Mm-hmm. And so, practically, every community, that tried to do this eventually gave up the idea, and restored their downtowns to their original multifaceted purposes.
How important was planning for us to get to this point?
Well, planning is actually essential for everything. And so, we were lucky enough, to have a dedicated group of people, both in the city and in the community, that wanted to create a downtown specific plan. People need to know what they're working towards. People need to know what some of the eventual goals are. Now, it doesn't need to be as proscriptive as, a mailbox is going to go here on the corner, and we're going to have a tree over here, and here goes a bench, and, this exact business is going in here. But sort of a broad idea of what's going on. So, we at Viva, advocated for, big, broad ideas. Let's remove the roof from the mall. Let's put the streets, back through. Let's encourage mixed-use projects where you have retail and commercial on the street level, residents up above, and kind of like create guidelines for, what can happen, and then see how the community, public and private developers, what they do with that. And it turns out that we've had some, really good organizations come into downtown as a result. The Shasta College investment has been fantastic. K2, a private development firm, has wildly invested. So you have, large investors, small investors. We really enjoy the fact that a few years back, the Chamber of Commerce said, we really like downtown. We want to be a part of this. And so they moved their offices into downtown. Small Business Development Center is located in downtown. So, we get these small things, and you do it one space at a time. You do it one block at a time, and see what happens. But ultimately what you need is that overarching plan so that people know kind of what it is that they're all working towards while they do their own separate projects on individual blocks or individual lots. Mm.
John, in 1996, how many things did you prognosticate? I don't know if I said that word right. To happen now today, like what things came true that you guys envisioned as an organization that we made it to from 1996 to today? Because it was taking Carnegie Library, once that became a parking lot, into a functioning community park. Taking Cascade Theater, opening it up, bringing residents downtown.
Well, we always knew that there were opportunities, and we knew that a plan was helpful. But I think that one of the things that that people that have been a part of Viva Downtown for many years have recognized for a long time is that people want a fun, engaging, and clean place to go. People like to gather. People like to be entertained. People like to be with their friends. People like to shop. People like to eat. Mm-hmm. People like to drink. People like to listen to music. Mm-hmm. I mean, basically, you know, you got to think about what it is. What do people want? Okay. And we've always been aware of what people want because we're honest with ourselves. Here's what we want. You know, we want to have a good time. And so if you orient your plans around, people having a good time, then you're going to be much more successful than just strictly looking at everything from, you know, an architectural or a physical type of plan. And one of the things that that I do know is that Reading has an awful lot of talent. A lot of talented musicians, talented performers. I mean, it's no mystery to me that downtown Reading, along with the connected Turtle Bay complex, was chosen as one of, you know, 14 state cultural districts. Some people were surprised at that, but those of us in Viva Downtown weren't surprised at that at all, because we've been working with talented people and artists and creative groups for many years in order to create an inviting downtown. And so when you give, you know, life and space to talent, to talented people, great things happen. So what's going to happen in the future? You know, I don't know, but I do know that what we need to do is we always need to be open to whatever's happened next and to recognize the great talents that we possess in this community, and to make sure that that small groups as well as very large groups have an opportunity to participate, that everyone feels like our downtown belongs to everybody.
John, and you've certainly done that, and the partnerships, when we have our downtown collaborative, you can see how many organizations have had a hand in establishing a strong downtown. And I've thoroughly enjoyed, loved working with you and being with all of these different partners that we have, especially over here at the Shasta County Arts Council and the Cascade Theater. And I'm really glad that you said that conception of why was Reading considered a cultural district. I mean, I think our downtown's really great. And what's some of the ways that – is there a way to convince people that still have doubts in downtown Reading, even though we've come so far from the beginning? Because I'm always hearing Bend. Tell me about Bend. And I think we're much better than Bend, Oregon.
Bend, Oregon is certainly a great tourist destination. But I think – but myself and yourself and our listeners, we live in Reading. Mm-hmm. So we can choose if we want to get in a car and drive for many, 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 many hours and spend our money to raise sales tax for another community. If we want to do that, that's cool. But I would recommend that we create the type of community that we want to travel to right here, so that instead of spending several hours in a car, we can actually spend time in our downtown enjoying ourselves. And instead of spending our money someplace else, we can spend it here. And instead of our sales tax dollars going to enrich another community, that we can use our own sales tax dollars to enrich our community. And that's just my take. So no disrespect to any other community, but I like to spend my time enjoying myself here and not necessarily in a car going someplace else.
Well said. Well, John, I think we're going to have a great rest of our year. Thank you so much for being on the Carl and Linda Bott Show. Any final thoughts on downtown?
Come downtown. It's the holiday season.
Support local. Okay. Hey, Alex, let's take it to our break, and then when we come back, we'll be back with Shasta College.
news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Breaking news this hour from Town Hall. I'm Rich Thomason. President Trump reportedly set to unveil a $12 billion farm aid package. The official announcement expected this afternoon at the White House. Ukrainian President Zelensky has been meeting with French, German, and British leaders in London today. The talks aim to strengthen Ukraine's position in negotiations on a U.S.-backed plan to end the war with Russia. A newly unveiled defense spending bill comes with a mind-boggling price tag.
The sweeping 3,000-page bill authorizes a record $901 billion in national security spending next year. That's billions more than President Trump's request. The measure includes a 4% raise for enlisted troops, as well as $400 million in military assistance to Ukraine. House Speaker Mike Johnson said the legislation would advance the president's agenda by ending woke ideology at the Pentagon and securing the border, among other priorities. Greg Clugston, Washington.
GOP Congressman Andy Biggs suggests he does not think Democrats will gain much traction with voters by hammering away at the affordability issue ahead of next year's midterm elections. Biggs tells Salem Radio Network that for Republicans, it's all about getting the message out.
We have to address health care, and as prices do continue to come down, we have to somehow break through the stranglehold that the socialist Marxist media has and let people know, yeah, prices are coming down. There are jobs being created in this country, and that you really didn't see that under Joe Biden. And we have to get our message out. If we get our message out, we win.
Paramount is challenging Netflix's $72 billion deal to purchase Warner Brothers Discovery. Paramount offering $30 per share cash for the entirety of Warner Brothers Discovery. Watching Wall Street, the Dow down about 157 points. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Wesley Financial Group is not a law firm.
Ask yourself this question. Is it really worth holding on to that timeshare that you know you need to get rid of? Here's the truth. The average maintenance fee just went up over 17%. That could have been 117%, and there's nothing you can do about it. When you buy a timeshare, you give them a blank check for annual maintenance and assessment fees. I'm Chuck McDowell, founder of Wesley Financial Group. For 15 years, I've helped over 50,000 families cancel their timeshare. Not sell it, not transfer it, cancel it. Did you buy a timeshare because they told you it was a great investment and your maintenance fees would never go up? That's a lie. Are you ready to get rid of your timeshare once and for all? Simply call us and I'll send you our timeshare exit kit that explains all your options for cancellation.
Call Wesley now for your timeshare exit kit. 800-366-6161. That's 800-366-6161. 800-366-6161.
The outgoing head of the UN Refugee Agency is concerned about Syria. He says the country is at a crucial crossroads a year after the fall of the Assad dictatorship.
Filippo Grandi said Syrians had returned to almost nothing. Houses destroyed, services on the verge of collapse, no jobs. But if life didn't improve, he feared they would leave again in frustration. Mr. Grandi acknowledged that there was still, in his words, a lot of apprehension about issues including the minorities in Syria as well as the rights of women. But he cautioned that time was running out to help Syrians choose the right way, not the wrong way.
The BBC's Lise Doucette. Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu says Israel and Hamas are expected to move into the second phase of their ceasefire soon. It will begin after Hamas returns the remains of the final hostage being held in Gaza. News and analysis, townhall.com. The UN's aid office is downsizing its annual fundraising appeal for next year after support for the effort fizzled.
The United Nations Office for the Coordination of Humanitarian Affairs says it's seeking $33 billion to help some 135 million people cope with fallout from wars, climate disasters, earthquakes, epidemics, and food shortages. This year, it took in $15 billion, the lowest level in a decade. OCHA Chief Tom Fletcher says in 2025, hunger surged, food budgets were slashed, even as famines hit part of Sudan and Gaza. health systems broke apart too. The UN aid coordinator sought $47 billion for this year and aimed to help 190 million people worldwide. Because of the lower support, it and humanitarian partners reached 25 million people fewer this year than in 2024. I'm Charles de Lesesma.
More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. Broadcasting from the KCNR studio, sponsored by Wind River Resort and Casino. Now, here is Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning, listeners. Welcome back to KCNR Radio 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, your talk radio. I'm Blake Fisher, filling in for Carl and Linda Bott on the Carl and Linda Bott Show. It is 8:05 on December 8th, 2025. Carl and Linda Bott will be back tomorrow. They've been gone the last 2 weeks exploring the wild, wild west, and they also did live broadcasts from the National Finals Rodeo. Our previous guest was the executive director of Viva Downtown Reading, John Truitt. Alex, what'd you think of that?
That was awesome.
I thought so too.
Glad to learn the history and where everything's heading.
Uh-huh. I love my job, love Viva Downtown. I'm so glad that we got to talk to John Truitt. Now we're here for the Shasta College Hour, and I think they brought in, well, there's many exciting and cool departments that Shasta College has. We brought in the culinary department. There's probably a more official name for that. Peter Griggs, what's the official name?
Hey, good morning. We have our culinary technologies group here, and so we're excited to have them join us this morning. We offer a number of great classes for our students. And, of course, we have the bistro on our campus. And so that offers our students a number of different opportunities to practice their talents.
And I'm here with two culinary, I want to say, really cool. I want to say the other word, you know, BA. You guys are some of the coolest people I get to know. I'm here with Leslie Hyatt and Jacqueline Horton. Leslie Hyatt is the culinary instructor at Shasta High School, Shasta College, and Jacqueline Horton, culinary arts and hospitality coordinator. Good morning.
Good morning. I have to say, though, I am the coordinator, but this one, Leslie, right here, is also the coordinator, too. We've been sharing that role for a while, haven't we?
Learning is fun.
Yes. I'm hoping to hand it off to him completely.
You know, is it common for restaurant world to be up this morning right now, 7 a.m.? Is this on a Monday, yeah. It's not brunch on Sunday. So thank you guys for waking up early and joining me on the radio. Jacqueline, I knew that you were going to be joining me. I didn't know I was going to get you, Les, too. I'm so glad you're here.
Well, I'm happy to be here.
And I had to bring my favorite instructor, obviously.
Like, for sure.
Oh, we are a weird, awesome culinary team. We get each other.
Yeah, you guys do. And I think my favorite when I knew you guys knew each other was when you officially opened Little by Little Wine Bar in the Reading Public Market in downtown Reading. And Les and you reconnected. And it was great to see the whole culinary world and see how important culinary arts are to improving and bringing life to a downtown Reading region. So you guys are here today to talk about your roles with Shasta College. So why don't we start it out? Jacqueline, what's your role and what's your culinary focus?
So it's really kind of a strange story because I am a full-time communication studies instructor at Shasta College. But right when the pandemic hit, both of the instructors for culinary arts retired, as they should have. It was a good time to do that. And they thought, who the heck are we going to get to teach wine classes? And I had a friend who happened to be teaching a customer service communication studies culinary arts combination class, and she said, I think we have someone, weirdly enough. And so I had talked a little bit about my sommelier background and my experience in the restaurants in San Francisco, and so they recommended me, and I didn't know, like, I was new to the community college experience, and so I just kind of sent over my restaurant resume, and the HR department was like, you also did that? And I was like, yeah, you don't put that on your CV.
That's
for
why I'm
teaching.
So good at communicating.
Yeah, right? Like, you don't put that, your wine experience on your CV for teaching. But it was awesome because, you know, it was like a dream come true for me to get to combine my passion for teaching, my love of teaching, to my love of wine, right? And so I started teaching the classes. And, you know, that first semester was pretty hard because we were doing them online, and teaching about wine online was weird. But I would put out, like, little tasters, and students, they weren't required to do this, right? But if they wanted to, they could come by my house and pick up bags with little 2-ounce pours of different wines, and we would get on Zoom and taste them together and talk about them, right? Not a requirement for the class, but it was a unique experience. And since then, you know, we just really have built the culinary program back. And I was so passionate about getting to teach these classes and wanting to see that program thrive, culinary arts in general, you know, the hospitality department, that I said, you know, yes, I'm a communication studies teacher and that's my full-time gig, but how can I help out in this program? Mm-hmm. And so I was lucky enough that they let me do kind of both things, right? And one of the first very good choices I made was looking through resumes and seeing Leslie Hyatt, who had cooked at Cleary's for 10 years. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, that's my favorite restaurant. That guy can cook. How are we going to get him to work for us, right? And he came in, interviewed, blew us all away, and now we're like happily, you know, working together at the bistro and in the program and rewriting curriculum and recruiting students and all
rebuilding.
The fun things that we do.
Yeah, Leslie, you're I hear so many legendary stories about your career in the culinary arts. So how did you what inspired you to get involved in the culinary industry, and where did Shasta College come into the picture?
Well, it started for me when I was still 17 or so. Mm-hmm. I got a part-time job as a cook at Papa Murphy's, just cutting vegetables and making pizza dough. And I fell in love with it and ended up in culinary school when I turned 18, and the rest is kind of a blur.
I loved Cleary's, so I'm glad you guys found each other. So now with this culinary program, as a student myself, I still remember seeing other students live prepping and working and serving over at the bistro. And to me, I thought the bistro closed down just because of the pandemic, and I thought that was done deal. But it sounds like the bistro is still open and teaching so many great.
Yeah, Leslie and I felt like that was, that was a really big important part of the culinary experience, is having the students have that real world restaurant experience. And so we worked really hard on bringing it back in the fall. We run our intro to culinary arts class, our intro to cooking. And so during the fall, he runs the bistro for, 16 weeks? Maybe 15 weeks. But we do to-goes only. But it's still, they offer 3 different choices of meals. We also, our pastry class offers a dessert or two as well. It's great for our staff. It's great for the other students to have another option besides our delightful food services as well. We love Denise. Yay, Denise.
Go Denise.
Supports us. Yeah. And then in the spring, we actually run sit-down service because we have a dining room class that is training students to do front-of-the-house experience. So really bringing that hospitality to serving and hosting and busing and the full experience of a real restaurant. Mm-hmm. Super exciting for us, too.
What is the degree or the certain degrees that students are going for when they get into this program, and what's next steps after it? Is it go straight into the professional world, or is it go continue to another culinary school?
Well, I kind of want Chef to talk about his experience because this is one of my joys that has happened, is when we went to interview Leslie, you know, we looked at his resume, his CV, what you put in for teacher. And my dean at the time was like, he doesn't have an associate's degree, right? And I was like, but he will by the time we need him to teach. So I did a deep dive on his stuff, and I was like, if he takes these 2 classes during the summer, he's going to be able to work for us in the fall, right?
And that's so really cool.
Yeah, and so I'd like you to tell them your story, because I am super impressed and proud of you, Chef.
Oh, we talk where we're starting, because, like, I'm pretty old, so there's a lot of stories to tell. No, when I came into the program, it was just after COVID. Cleary's had just decided to shut the doors permanently, which was heartbreaking for a lot of us. And then I kind of just took some time off through COVID and reassessed and continued my schooling. And then the opportunity came up right as I was finishing up my first degree at Shasta College, and it kind of worked out perfect. And I realized that one of the my favorite things to do when I was a chef is teaching those new cooks when they came in. They have to learn how you do things, what kind of recipes you do. So teaching those cooks was one of my favorite things, and now I get to do it every day.
Mm. Yeah, but he's being humble right now. So not only did he finish his associate's degree with us, right, he then went on to finish his bachelor's degree at Chico.
Dude.
And now is enrolled in a master's program. And let's talk about what you're studying in your master's program. What are we working on in our thesis? What's the goal, Chef?
Food and social injustice.
Loving it. But
thank goodness you have your PR representative over
well,
here.
No, I just,
Miss Jacqueline is... I'm her biggest fan.
Well, and I just think it's so cool that, you know, we're talking about culinary arts and combining education, and this amazing chef, like, had the opportunity to come teach with us, which inspired him to go on and do further education, mm-hmm. right? Like, that's what this is all about. But to your original question is, yes, you can get a culinary arts degree, an associate's degree at Shasta College. But what I also love is that we offer lots of certificates. So, like, for instance, the one I'm most proud of is the non-essentials. No, I always say it like that. It's incorrect. But it is a wine certificate, a non-credit wine essentials certificate. It's two courses. I have had at least 15 friends, loyal followers, who have accomplished this and have sent me pictures with their certificates by them. But we also offer a hospitality degree, a culinary arts degree, but then also a couple of certificates as well. So you don't have to do the full program. You can just stack certificates, which is amazing.
That's wonderful.
We also offer, I like our non-credit classes too. That's a big part of what the culinary arts program is doing. So even, yes, we're training chefs to go out into the workforce, but you know, maybe you're a community member and you just want to get great at baking bread. We have another fantastic instructor who went through our program, Megan Tarrant.
Megan.
Yes, yay, Megan. We also, Josh Carey. Yay, Josh Carey,
yay,
who
Josh.
Runs Woodside Grill, also an alumni of the Shasta College program, who will teach you how to bake, right? Like, teach you how to make fancy pastries and yummy cakes and, you know, beautiful rosettes. I still don't know how you guys do that. Like the little, well, how do you do that? The rosettes with the butter and the cream and like,
very
they're
carefully.
All pretty. Okay.
You'll have to take the class. Hey, we're going to take our first break of the hour, and we'll be back with Shasta College.
Celebrate the holiday season at Redding Garden of Lights. Open on select dates now through January 4th at the Sundial Bridge and Turtle Bay. Featuring 10 acres of illuminated gardens filled with over 2 million lights. Plus holiday-themed music, food and drinks, glowing swings, model trains, and more. Upgrade your experience with a train ride on the new Turtle Express. Redding Garden of Lights is presented by Dignity Health Mercy Medical Center Redding. Turtle Bay members save $5 per ticket. Buy tickets online for the best price at turtlebay.org.
What does comfort mean to you? At Alliance Heating and Air, we understand your HVAC system is the most important system in your home, affecting everything from air quality to temperature control. That's why everybody calls us, delivering perfect comfort. Invest in year-round comfort with an Alliance tune-up for just $99. Plus, we offer comprehensive maintenance plans starting at $15.95 per month. Remember, everybody calls us at 22 12 6 42.
Everybody calls us.
At Stifel Nicolaus, I am committed to offering investors personalized investment guidance. Stifel is a full-service organization with departments staffed with professionals that specialize in a wide range of investment opportunities. We strive to give each account, regardless of size, careful individual attention. This is financial advisor Susan Eastman at 530-244-7199. Let's talk today about a personalized plan. Again, that number, 530-244-7199.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300, a reputation for excellence since 1965.
When you have a workers' compensation case, the insurance companies and adjusters are not on your side. Speak with an attorney to be sure you're not missing out on the benefits that you need and are entitled to. Workers' compensation is complicated. Gorman Law can help you turn a bad situation into a new opportunity. Call us at 530-262-2168, 530-262-2168, or schedule a free consultation online at GormanComplaw.com.
The Reading Chamber of Commerce is working every day to make our community a better place to live, work, and do business. When you join the Chamber, you become part of a network that stands up for local employers, supports our workforce, and helps shape the future of Reading. Your membership fuels advocacy at City Hall and in Sacramento, promotes tourism through Visit Reading, and strengthens the business community that keeps our economy moving. If you believe in building a stronger Reading, we invite you to join us. Visit ReadingChamber.com to learn more.
Hi, it's Mark from Haven Humane Society. Are you looking to add to your family? We have puppies, kittens, small critters, and farm animals. Each year we have thousands of amazing animals looking for homes come into our lives, and we hope to have them join yours. Follow us on social media and find our links on our website, havenhumane.org. Watch our weekly content on YouTube, like our Mark's Monday mashup, when we talk about what's going on and introduce you to our team and adoptable animals. Get involved. Volunteer. Thank you for all your continued support. Together, we are moving closer to our ultimate goal of a North State with no more homeless pets.
So eat it. Don't you tell me you're full. Just eat it. Eat it. Get yourself an A.
Nice. There it is. That's the theme of this morning. We have our culinary department, culinary and hospitality department from Shasta College. I'm here with Leslie Hyatt, culinary instructor, and Jacqueline Horton, culinary arts and hospitality coordinator from Shasta College. I loved hearing those updates, how the program is being rebuilt up, and the type of instructors that you want to be a part of this program, people that are not only passionate about the craft, but also are looking to improve their own skills. And I think in a post-COVID world, hospitality and cuisine are some of the most important aspects of bringing people back together, because that was a rough time for the restaurant industry, and for travel and for being passionate about where we live. So as a student, what can people expect when they are actually in the program? What's the facility actually look like?
Well, our main focus is to get these students ready for what's out here, right, where the world that we came from. So it's kind of like reverse engineering an employee, so you're trying to teach them everything. And so when we got there, you know, we were, COVID had just kind of taken everything out, and everything was kind of, lack of a better word, old. But we've had the opportunity to really revamp the program. Perkins has given us quite a few upgrades. We've got new stoves and new ovens and new fryers and dishwashers, and we got a fresh coat of paint on the building and new carpet, and it's really, really reminiscent of a real, like, what you would clock in and out of every day in a restaurant. So we're really just trying to push the reality of what the industry is and prepare them for that.
Chef and I were really passionate about, like, refreshing the space and just kind of somewhat bringing it out of, like, the late 80s, right? And so Sherry Nichols, the recently retired goddess Sherry Nichols, really helped us with that project, and, of course, our deans and that sort of thing. But we found ways to, like, reuse things that the college already had. You know, we just refreshed, or we just rebuilt the library, so we got the carpet from the library put in there, right? We had extra paint. We got them to paint. And then our landscapers got on board with our project and actually planted an edible garden, so that we can have, you know, fresh lemons and herbs, fresh herbs and stuff like that to use in the program.
And a patio.
And a patio. Yeah, we put together a space where people can, you know, come and eat outside and collaborate and communicate, students and teachers. And that's just been really fun to see that space really just kind of blossom into something. I will tell you, there was a semester where I just kind of made it look really ugly. I took off all the art and, like, stopped trying to, you know, put lipstick on the pig and had everybody walk through. And then some people were like, hey, maybe we should fix this up. And I was like, it's working, you know. But, yeah, we really wanted to do that and have a goal and so that our students would feel proud to be in that space. And, you know, I look at the kitchens. Sometimes it's a fun space because there's, like, a teaching kitchen. Then there's, like, a kitchen where the people can watch them cook as well, which is really neat. But it is a restaurant kitchen. Mm-hmm. You are using equipment that you will use your next job, you know, and these students, they do everything from dishwashing to garmager to hot apps to, you know, yeah, sous chef to chef de cuisine, you know. Yeah. And he, I have to give Leslie so much credit because he naturally knew what to do with the students to make them good chefs. He's mm-hmm. like, I think I'm going to put them in groups and have them work everything. And I was like, yeah, that's a good idea. You know, he just, I don't know how to cook, I'll be honest. I mean, I can open a can of soup. Yeah, I am too. But, you know, I can open a can of soup and make that for my children. Everything's okay. But this guy, like, so I got to mentor him and teach him how to teach. So then I learned all this fun stuff about back of the house and food. And it's just been truly a joy, Chef.
It really has.
Yeah, yeah. We're a good team, I think.
I do.
You guys are a great team. And, you know, Shasta College has put so much investment on the campus itself, post-COVID world. I mean, the entire campus is looking phenomenal.
Beautiful.
And I'm so glad that your department also got its improvements. We're the state of California. We are all about farm to fork. Mm-hmm. We're all about hospitality and tourism and creating a culinary experience. I mean, we're only a few hours away from one of the wine capitals of the world. And Shasta College, back, you know, 2013, 2014 time, was recognized for its wine and culinary industry, winning ribbons and awards. So where are we today with that? And also, we have an agricultural department. Do you guys work closely with the ag department, with the culinary?
Well, apparently, I don't know. They used to. Mm-hmm. And I actually just started talking to Limon.
Limon Waite, who's our agricultural instructor.
She's
and
retiring
also
next year. But
that's not fair.
But they used to do fresh herbs and things like that for the bistro, so we're kind of starting to work towards that again, where they're growing stuff just specifically for our bistro.
Yeah, it's, that has always been something we've wanted to get back to, but, you know, I'm so tired of talking about COVID. Can we please, you know, it's what I recently read something that 6 years ago, 2 days ago, that was the first case that came out. So we are 6 years out of this. But, you know, the restaurant business got crushed. Obviously, the culinary arts program, it's very difficult to teach that online. It definitely got crushed. And so we really have been working back the program and building it. I mean, we've seen 50% increase in students coming in. And so, yes, our goal absolutely is to work with our agricultural program, and do this kind of farm to table. Josh, Megan, Leslie, that is the first question they ask. Our dean, Mark Clever, same thing. He wants to do it too. He loves it, mm-hmm. right? And Limon, we're all into it, but there's just a little bit of jointedness, if you will, right now. Mm-hmm. But one of the fantastic things that happened is this year we earned because of the increase in our numbers, the changes to our programs, the students graduating and earning certificates, we are going to offer a full-time position this year.
Wow.
We'll run a full-time position. So that's super exciting to see. And what we assume is that person who gets to come in and do that will really create those connections. And, but yeah, and our agricultural program is so awesome as well. Like, that students live in the dorms and do mm-hmm. this. And I'm so lucky because I get to teach them one of their general ed classes, at least one, right? And hear about all their experiences and that kind of stuff. So yeah, really connecting. Even, you know, we've talked about doing a butcher program, which is a huge undertaking, but how great would that be for this community, right? Mm-hmm. We have hunters, you know, things like that. But some of the other things, you know, we have a beer making class. Did you know that?
No.
No. So Kurt over at Woody's came to us 2 years ago and was like, hey, I'd love to teach beer making. And we were like, we'd love for you to teach that too. And so we found out that Kurt didn't have a degree either. So he finished his degree so that he could come teach with us.
So that's another local culinary expert that you guys. So I love hearing this because this isn't just students that we're talking about. These are other professionals that are in the area that have dedicated their livelihoods to this, and they're just completing a little check mark.
Yeah.
And you guys do such a good job on that.
Well, that Blake, that was my perspective when I came in as the coordinator, was find the good people mm-hmm. to build this program up. And so that was always at the top of my list of focus, of course, starting first with Leslie. Mm-hmm. But then people started reaching out to us, you know. But, yeah, that's what I wanted to do, was bring in great, talented chefs who also are nice people mm-hmm. and who can teach, right? Because there's all of us know sometimes chefs are, you know, they can have a little chip on their shoulder.
It's an industry.
It is, right? But so when I, you know, when I was looking at the program, I was like, what's going to be the best thing for this program for our students? And that was finding great, great chefs, great people that can cook, right? Number one. But number two, nice, nice humans who know how to teach mm-hmm. or can learn how to teach and care about people. And I just, that's what's happened in this program, is I look around, you know, I may have, as I have this new business that we've talked about, you know, I may have to go back to just my full-time job in communication studies, but I know that I'm leaving it in great hands, and that, you know, the deans that I've worked with, we have found these amazing people to come in and champion this program, because it's just, you know, I never wanted to see it go away. Like, this is so good for our community, our students. You know, I want to eat at great restaurants,
yeah.
right? I want, and we also, you know, the community also needs good chefs for things like, you know, Viber, for the hospitals, mm-hmm. for, you know.
Retirement homes.
Mm-hmm. And we're, you know, we think deeply about that, too, is how do we teach students to cook in those situations? But, you know, our community deserves good food, great hospitality experts, right?
Yes. Yes! You're getting me fired up. Hey, we're going to take our next break. When we come on back, I'd love to hear more about students' experience and job opportunities and internships that they can get. All right, we'll be back.
I got you, moonlight, you're my starlight. I need you all night. Come on, dance with me. I'll never take you.
Shannon Phillips with the McConnell Foundation. As part of Operation Holiday Salute, we would like to take a moment to thank our veterans and the brave men and women who are currently serving in the armed forces. At the McConnell Foundation, our mission is to help build better communities through philanthropy. We value excellence and integrity, using our personnel, facilities, and financial resources to create and support positive change. We are honored to be a part of Operation Holiday Salute on KCNR.
The holidays are here, and that means family, friends, and heartwarming homemade flavors. Celebrate the season at Charlu's Tap House in Anderson, where tradition, taste, and togetherness come to life. Warm up with our made-from-scratch soups and signature family sauces, crafted from cherished recipes passed down through generations. Watch the magic happen when we hand-toss every pizza to order, then bake it to perfection, crispy, cheesy, and made with love. Let the little ones explore our brand-new adventure room. With bounce houses, arcade games, and even a make-your-own pizza table where the kids can make their own pizza. While they play, you can relax with happy hour daily from 3 to 6, or pour your favorite brew from our self-serve beer wall featuring dozens of local and craft options. And don't forget the perfect stocking stuffer. Buy a $50 Charlu's gift card and get an extra $10 free. The gift of homemade flavor, family fun, and unforgettable memories. Visit charlus.com for details, or stop by on Highway 273 in Anderson. Charlu's Tap House, where good times, great flavor, and family traditions come together for the holidays.
Celebrate the holiday season at Redding Garden of Lights. Open on select dates now through January 4th at the Sundial Bridge and Turtle Bay. Featuring 10 acres of illuminated gardens filled with over 2 million lights. Plus holiday-themed music, food and drinks, glowing swings, model trains, and more. Upgrade your experience with a train ride on the new Turtle Express. Redding Garden of Lights is presented by Dignity Health Mercy Medical Center Redding. Turtle Bay members save $5 per ticket. Buy tickets online for the best price at turtlebay.org.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
Join me, Dr. Lauren, on Tuesdays at 6 p.m. behind the pink mic for breast cancer conversations about prevention and diagnosis to healing stories and words from expert guests. Behind the Pink Mic is proudly sponsored by Sizzle's Kitchen and Swell Endeavor. Tune in with Dr. Lauren every Tuesday at 6 p.m. on KCNR 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, and streaming at KCNR1460.com. Behind the Pink Mic, let's talk healing, hope, and community.
KCNR listeners, we're back. 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, your talk radio. I'm here with the Shasta College crew in the Culinary and Hospitality Department, Jacqueline Horton and Leslie Hyatt. So we were talking about how the program's grown and what the direction, how the direction of the program has changed and adjusted and built back up. But I'd love to hear, what are the job opportunities and internships that these students typically get locally? What's the goal?
Well, I will speak experientially, I guess. So as you know, I've opened a business in the Reading Public Market.
Yeah.
And we've been open about 2 weeks, a soft opening, as they said. But really, let's be honest, that was a very hard opening. Yeah. Lots of fun, and the community seems to be loving it. But so this is, there are 12 businesses in there, right? And 8 of them are food kind of, I mean, so much stuff. I walk around that market and I hear, hi, chef, because in the culinary arts program, we teach them to call each other chef, because that's a super sign of respect. If anybody's seen The Bear, you know exactly what I'm talking about, right? But even me, the sommelier, right, the somm, they call chef because it's a sign of respect. So I'll walk around the market doing my stuff, and I'll hear, hi, chef. And that's because there are so many students in this new facility that we have downtown. There's so many of our graduates in there. I'm going to guess like 20, right, that have been hired to cook at these places and do all these crazy things. And
I was wondering why the work market looked so young over there. I thought that was so exciting.
Yeah, it's been really exciting. In fact, for me, I have a kitchen, right? And so the chef that I hired is Brianna Daniels, and she went through the program too. And I met her when she was doing one of the wine classes 5 years ago. And so I went, she put in a resume when I put it out on Indeed, right, because I was desperate for employees, and I saw Brianna Daniels, and I thought, hallelujah, things are going to work out. And sure enough, we met back up, connected, and now I've hired her to be my chef de cuisine. And in January, we'll promote her to executive chef.
Nice.
Probably.
Don't take your word for it.
No. Okay.
What about you, Leslie? Why do you think it's important to get students involved in local businesses and restaurants outside of the program?
I'm from the older generation of chefs, And I don't believe that you can have a restaurant without a community, mm-hmm. at least not a successful one. So community involvement from not only the staff and the owners of the restaurants, but all these students are a part of the community. And we kind of get a taste of that at the bistro, because we have regular people who come in, and we've built this community around the campus where Tuesdays and Thursdays we have people come in and enjoy food and our hospitality. And it's just a really good spot.
Have you guys seen the industry change in students signing up when it seems like getting involved in culinary arts is so much a part of Hollywood and lifestyle and promoting? You see The Bear as one of the top shows. You see Food Network Star, Kitchen Nightmares, really teaching. It seems to be something that consumes our interest. It's not just the chef, you know. I feel like the industry's changed when you guys really got into it, and now it's something that people want to be involved in. It's something that grows you as an individual, and food's about love and health and caring. Have you guys seen that change with just the way that we view food?
Yeah, I'm old school too, right? I started hostessing when I was 16 years old and fell in love with the business, like all the drama of it and, you know, like running a busy door and that kind of stuff was always so good to me. But I worked with Michael Mina at Aqua in San Francisco, which became one of the first two Michelin star restaurants in the country. And so I watched Michael Mina become a celebrity chef, right? Like now he's a brand, but I knew him as a human who cooked on the line, right? Mm-hmm. And his son Sammy sitting off to the side and that kind of stuff. So I really have seen in my career the whole celebrity chef evolve, right? But when you get down to it, yes, that's fun for us to watch as, you know, consumers, and like it, there is a drama, and you know, it's all this, and Michelin stars, like I'm watching a show right now that's people chasing a star, and it's so cool and I love it, right? But at the heart of all of this, it's about taking care of people. It's about feeding them, you know, it's about making great food, and you know, really that art of hospitality and the art of cooking. And trust me, nobody signs up to do this, to stand behind a line for 8 hours. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I mean, you watch those guys at DJ Smashburgers over there, yeah, like just crushing some burgers. That does not look fun to me, right? Like they're making a delicious product, but standing on that hotline and, you know, doing that work, it is about a passion for food. And you have to have a lot of heart to learn how to do something like that. So even though, you know, we're seeing this glamorous side of it and that kind of stuff, it really is. I think they come in with love for food and art and, you know, connection to other humans and taking care of them.
And I think, let me rephrase, my Instagram and TikTok feed is just of everybody filming food and recipes and sharing. And it seems like that is just something that everybody feels like they can be a part of and teach now. I don't feel like that was a relationship with food for everybody can have a hand in that. And that's what your guys' program is developing. Right. What are some of the students that you're actively looking for in this program? And what's your advice for students that want to learn a new skill or take this career as their focus?
Do it. Don't. Nice. Just like if you love food and you love people, even if you don't love people, through food you will understand them better anyways. And I have a relationship with food where I love feeding people. Anthony Bourdain said it best, like if you're willing to spend your life feeding and taking care of other people, you can't be that bad of a guy. So I always took that to heart. Like if you're going to be out there and be a part of this and feed the community and be that person where they come when they're hungry or bored or just want to hang out with their friends, I mean, that's an honor. And we take that seriously. I try and push that off onto the students, like be a part of it. It's not just food. Mm. It's a whole environment. It's the people you work with. It's the customers that come in. It's a whole ecosystem.
Well, and also culinary arts kind of attracts some misfits. I'm going to be honest about that, right? You know, we work weird hours. You know, you don't spend holidays with your families because you're cooking for someone else. And that's okay. Like, we're a mismatched group of people that accept each other. And so like, you know, it's, as we're talking about, if you have a passion that's something you you're thinking about, you're interested in, what a great place at Shasta College to get to even dip your toe in, right? Maybe you just want to take our pastry class, right? It's a couple of units, you know, you can get trained by an expert pastry chef, right? Or even our baking class. So now you're making, everybody's got their own sourdough starter, right? I'm still afraid of it, I'll be honest, right? Yeah. But I feel like it's going to grow in my cabinet. But, you know, you want to, if you've already done that and you started baking your own bread and you want to take your skills to the next level, we've got a class for you, you know? And you're welcome because we're a community college. Like, you know, we talk about meeting students where they're at, but we want this. Reading is so awesome. Like, I am so in love. I've been here 6.5 years, and I feel like I made the best decision I've ever made moving here. Just because of how connected people are, right? And at the heart of that for me is the college, right? Everything, my children, my new business, all of those things have come out of that. You know how I got hooked up with the K2 developers? Mm-hmm. Leah Roadrunner took my class. And Aaron Ross, who's the director over at the Reading Public Market, was like, we need someone who knows about wine. And Leah's like, I got a girl, right? And then put me together. And that would have never happened if Leah hadn't taken that class. You know why Leah took the class? Her son wanted to study baking. And so they did it together for mother-son experience. So her son was in there, right? And so I hooked him up with one of my friends who's a James Beard Award-winning pastry chef. And so they met and talked about the experience. And now, of course, I think he's living in Japan selling something.
Wow.
But, you know, I mean, like, this is 5 years ago, and it's all these community connections, right? And at the heart of this is Shasta College, mm-hmm. you know, at least for me, is where I've gotten connected and, you know, brought students in and just getting to see everybody flourish and, you know, earn those degrees like Leslie did and, you know, changing your life, right, for the better through education is, I don't know, it's remarkable for me. And then I get to talk about wine and food. Come on.
Come on.
Right?
I get to eat.
And you get to eat. We're going to take our last break of the hour, and when we come back, I'd love to talk about upcoming classes, and because this winter semester is coming to an end, we'll talk about spring and how you can get registered. We'll be back.
Are you tired of your business insurance expenses going up and up? Surprisingly, there is some relief here in California. The workers' compensation market in California is the hottest it's been in years. Companies are offering huge discounts on some worker compensation policies, and if your agent hasn't shopped your workers' compensation insurance lately, you're paying too much. Siskiyou Insurance Services deals with some of the best insurance companies in California, not only for business insurance, but also workers' compensation insurance, too. Hartford, Travelers, Liberty, and more. Real estate agencies, smoking hot rates. Lawyers, some of the best rates in California. Doctor's offices and dentist offices, we have the companies. And contractors, we can write your comp too. Call Curtis Byron at Siskiyou Insurance Services today if you want to save money on your business insurance portfolio. If your agent hasn't shopped your workers' compensation this year, you can by calling Siskiyou Insurance in Reading, 530-224-2345 or 1-800-773-2345.
Alan Gordon, Coach Master Collision. She had minor damage to her rear bumper. I wrote her an estimate. Later, I received a call. The lady responsible for the damage wanted to pay for the repairs out of pocket. Her insurance agent told her a claim would raise her rates for years. With our experience in the claim process, I explained to her most insurance companies would forgive a claim if the cost was below a minimum amount. I suggested she contact her insurance agent and have them review her policy. She called back very excited. It appeared her policy did extend forgiveness. They would pay for the repairs, and she wouldn't be charged with a claim or have to pay a deductible. The accident would not cost her a thing. She was very pleased. Good thing the vehicle owner came to the right place for repairs. We all pay a lot for insurance. Choosing Coachmaster will ensure you get the most for your money. Let this experience work for you. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
This is Carrie Growl, owner of Organic Pilates.
We believe movement is more than exercise. It's a way to connect with yourself. Our new student intro includes a semi-private reformer session, two group classes, and an infrared sauna experience. And soon, you'll find us in our expanded studio in the heart of downtown Reading. Discover how movement with intention can change the way you feel at Organic Pilates.
Out here, Christmas isn't found in bright lights or fancy gifts. It's in the hands that help, the hearts that give, and the neighbors who always show up when it matters most. At Grange Co-op, we're more than a store. We're a family of farmers, friends, and believers who never stop hoping for a better tomorrow. This season, let's gather close and celebrate what truly matters. Love, community, and the magic of being together. Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays from Grange Co-op.
Ready to turn your dreams into reality? At Simpson University, we offer a private Christian education that enriches your academic journey with faith and purpose. Whether you're pursuing your undergraduate degree, completing your degree, or advancing through graduate studies, our dynamic programs, personalized mentorship, and vibrant community are here to support you. Discover how Simpson University can help you achieve your goals and grow spiritually. Visit simpsonu.edu today to learn more. Simpson University, where your potential is limitless.
You're a mean one.
Alright, welcome back. KCNR listeners, 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, Your Talk Radio, the Carl and Linda Bott Show. I'm Blake Fisher from Viva Downtown Reading, filling in for Carl and Linda, who will be back tomorrow. Today we had John Truitt as the Executive Director of Viva Downtown Reading, and this last hour we've been with Shasta College talking about their culinary arts and hospitality program. I have a deep love for Shasta College. That's where I went to school as a student, got a humanities and theater arts degree there, and you guys are, Shasta College is just one of the most important programs that we have here in Shasta County. So I'm so glad that, Peter, you brought this department in, and with that, you know, fall and winter classes are coming to an end. What does spring semester look like? How can I get enrolled, and how can others get involved in these programs?
You bet. Jacqueline, you want to take this one? Or?
Well, it's pretty easy, to be honest, is you got to apply, mm-hmm. right? You got to pull the trigger and jump in there and apply. Certainly going to the website is a way to do that, and you can apply online. But if there's any trouble, come on in and see us. Admissions and records, right? I have been, you know, I taught before Shasta College, but I came from a university, a private university, and I thought we had resources at that private university, right? Like private school, lots of resources, and then I came to Shasta College. There's a counselor. There is an advisor. We have so much support there for students to make sure that they are successful. And it makes from the librarians to the, you know, to our PACE department to financial success, right? I had a student who, he emailed me and he said, you know, I'm having a problem. My car's broke down and I can't get to class because I teach a lot of hybrid, so they got to actually come see me. I like those face-to-face classes, right? And I said, you know what? I heard a story. Let me check into some stuff. You know, we found him resources to get money to fix his car so he could come to class. I was like, oh my goodness. Like, we are doing the right thing at this college. Mm-hmm. There to support students. So as you look to come into spring, pull the trigger. Apply. Right? And if you run into any trouble, come to main campus. Come down. Ask for help. We're there to do that. And there's the resources and the support to get you through it. I recruit a lot of students who are community members who haven't gone to Shasta College before for some of the non-credit classes I teach. And, you know, they're like, I have to get my transcripts from 30 years ago. And I was like, no, you don't have to do that. Let's go into the campus and talk to someone. And then we clear it up in 15, 20 minutes, yep. right? So it's apply, ask for help. The resources and the support are there for you. I am so proud of Shasta College because of that. It's so impressive.
Mm-hmm. And Jacqueline, to your point, so anyone out there who is thinking, boy, I'd like to take that first step, shastacollege.edu/apply. We try to make it as simple as we can. And then if they do encounter problems or they have questions, come in, talk to a student success facilitator, come into our admissions and records office. We have a number of people who are standing by just waiting to help you.
Apply today. Y'all make it very easy and accessible for everyone of all ages. And shoot, Les, what about you? How did you feel once you finished your degree?
Very, very good. It's...
Oh, he's a little awestruck because he went immediately from finishing his BA into a master's program. But go ahead, Jeff. How'd you feel?
Overwhelmed. I love that sense of accomplishment. That, you know, you finish something, that you accomplish something, and I love that, and that's why I keep doing it. And I feel that way with my students all the time, that when they get that aha moment is what I call it. I used to look for it in the kitchen when I was teaching a new cook something, but when they understand, they're like, oh, that's why. Mm-hmm. And it's just a really good moment.
Again, chef being humble here, Dean Zweigel was like, hey, chef, Leslie, we should write a paper. And his great wife, Bonnie Hyatt, the famous Bonnie Hyatt, was standing, and she said, if you publish before I do, I don't know what's going to happen to this marriage. But it's true. Like, you know, just seeing people grow and all of those things is so important.
Yeah, if you would have told me 10 years ago that I would be where I'm at, I would have been like, I'll be on the line over here cooking something.
Mm. And that's Shasta College that changed his life, right?
Absolutely.
And the partnerships we've made and that sort of thing. So people, if you're listening and you think, maybe I want to try and do this, I'm a comm studies instructor. My heart is in rhetoric, maybe in a little bit food and wine too, but just apply. You got to start somewhere, mm-hmm. right? You know, all of my degrees are a little bit accidental too. You know, I finished college and I was waiting tables in a 2 Michelin star restaurant, and I had an instructor ask me, what are you doing next year? And I said, well, I'm probably going to wait tables in a 2 Michelin star restaurant. She said, have you ever thought about going to grad school? And I said, no, can I do that? And she said, yeah, you can do that. Mm-hmm. And so that's how I fell into my master's program, which gave me the ability to be a general education, a communication studies teacher here at Shasta College.
And how do you guys feel about the stages in your life? Age-wise, did that prevent you from going, or
no.
For anybody that feels that way?
No, absolutely not.
One of the only reasons I did is because I wasn't a kid anymore. Mm. I waited till I was 40 before I started going to college, and it was super easy, and it was always welcoming, and not one thing ever made me think that I wasn't wanted there, even if I was old.
Yeah, and teaching the general education courses, you know, in my public speaking course, seeing the diversity of age in the classroom just creates a wonderful environment where, you know, younger students are learning from older students.
That's my favorite thing too.
Yeah, it's so empowering to like have all those different perspectives, single moms, you know, like people just trying to do the right thing and make their lives better and understanding that Shasta College can do that for them.
And Jacqueline, I think it's bare saying that education has really changed. If you're thinking it's, you know, we just have the semester-long programs, we also have our 8-week compressed classes through ACE, which is really there for working adults mm-hmm. trying to fit in education and new careers, reskilling, upskilling mm-hmm. into their lives.
Yeah.
So we have a lot to offer for a variety of individuals.
Yeah. I've had the opportunity to work in the CTE, Career Technical Education programs, and also our transfer degrees. And seeing, come on out, weld with us, right? Become a diesel mechanic, drive a truck, right? We have those programs, and then we also have, like, let's sit down and talk about philosophy and politics mm-hmm. and learn how to be a better communicator.
Music and theater.
And music and theater.
We have a dynamic theater.
Pattern. Agriculture. Like, it's...
Yeah, it's such a cool place. Like, so I feel so little, blessed every day.
Yeah, there's just so many little mini communities inside of the college itself.
You can find where you fit in there. And then we have a library to support you.
A brand new spanking library.
Beautiful library.
With a Starbucks in there, too.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You got it.
So, well, guys, thank you so much for being here. Thank you so much for being involved in Shasta College and being passionate about your crafts. But also, I love seeing you guys in downtown Reading. If you want to see these two, you can find them in downtown. Les is usually working at the Shasta Historical Society alongside his wife, who is the executive director. You can find him and Jacqueline. You're at Little by Little Wine Bar. And if you want to go through their classes, apply today at Shasta College. You're going to want to learn from these two because they're passionate about their craft and they're passionate about your success. So, I'm Blake Fisher from Viva Downtown Reading. You're listening to the Carl and Linda Bott Show on KCNR Reading 96.5 FM, 1460 AM. It's always a pleasure to fill in for Carl and Linda. And, Alex, you always do great work. Thank you so much.
Thanks, man.
And Carl and Linda should be back tomorrow. If not, you'll just hear my voice again. All right. Have a good day.
Thanks, Blake.
From Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.